And the last provision that we noticed as we talked about the provisions of justification by faith was that it provided us a rejoicing or a circumstance in which we can rejoice. And this evening we want to continue that particular thought, but it deals with the other side of it. Paul has just written of this rejoicing that we have when we consider our hope in God, and it has to do with that which is ours in the future, which has to do with the glory of God. And Paul says, look at all that God has promised us in the future, our being resurrected, our being with Him in heaven, and all the glorious things of the future. And it is a glorious future indeed when we shall see Him and we shall know Him. But then Paul writes about this present time. What about now? Shall we be morose and bitter about the things of life? Is God's grace sufficient for this period of time that we're involved in right now? Can faith affect our present life? Paul has said that we rejoice in hope of this or the glory of God. Now he's going to take that particular thought and apply it to this present life. Let's read verses 3, 4, and 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Paul now exemplifies what I would term as mature thinking. It comes from a mature person. Several of you have grown up in the church since I've been here, and I've noticed you when you get 16 years old and perhaps your parents bought you an automobile or a truck or something of that nature, and you were really thankful and you really gloried, and that's what this word means. You bragged and you talked about how good your parents were to you and how much you loved them for what they had done for you, and you gloried, which means to boast or to vaunt or to lift up. That's what this word means. But you were very careful to praise your parents for what they had given you, what they'd done for you. But then some of you, I've been with you when your parents, after your parents had died, or perhaps even in the time of your parents' death, and you would talk about your parents, and you'd say something like this: well, my mother was very strict with me, or my dad was very strict about telling the truth and going to church and all these things, and I really didn't appreciate it then, but now I understand that what they did in teaching me about honesty and about worshiping God and serving God, then I really want to praise them and brag on them for paying attention to my rearing, to my training. Now that's the difference in maturity. And this is what Paul's talking about. It's, you know, we talk about how we glory in what God has for us in the future. But then we get more mature in our thinking and we say, well, what about right now and the way that God seems to be dealing with me now? Can I brag about God and the goodness of God and the wisdom of God and the power of God? Can I glory in the truth of God right now when there's some really seriously troubling things happening to me? That's what this is about. And not only so, that is, not just in a time of good, but we glory in tribulations also. That word that's translated glory is again a word that means to speak loud, to be loud-tongued, to boast or vaunt oneself. It really means to brag on somebody. And not only do we rejoice in the Lord when we consider our future glory, that which is going to happen out yonder somewhere, but we actually brag on God in the midst of tribulation. And that's a rather unique word because it has in it the idea of compression and pressure so that you feel like everything is closing in on you. And I think all of us have had that feeling and probably do from time to time when the whole world is just sort of closing in more and more and there's less time to do more and more and we just don't know where we're going to get the time and the energy or how we're going to find our way out of this particular problem. And we describe ourselves as being in a pressure cooker. Well, that's sort of the idea, although they didn't have pressure cookers back in this time, but it has that idea in it of thrashing, of applying pressure on an item in order to get the best there is out of it. And so Paul is saying that we continue to praise God even when things are closing in on us and things are really getting tough, and yet we don't turn away from God and we don't start blaming God and we don't start cursing God and we don't lose our faith in God. In times of tribulation also, we might say that when we are in the devil's pressure cooker, we can praise him as loudly as when we are being blessed of God. That our attitude toward God doesn't change, whether we're enjoying a sumptuous table or whether we're eating just the barest of food, whether we have health or whether we don't have health, whether we're prospering or whether we're not prospering, we don't change in our attitude toward God. We still love him. We still praise him. We still brag on him as being our God and our Savior. This is a sign of maturity. There are Bible examples of this. And I'm sure all of us think of Job, who said, "The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Listen to this statement. In all this, everything that happened to Job, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. That is, Job, in the loss of his family and his health and his finances, he never attributed this to the folly of God. He accepted it and continued to have faith in God. The apostles, when they were brought before the council and they were beaten, the Bible tells us that they rejoiced, and that's the same word, in that they were counted worthy to suffer in the name of Jesus Christ. I often wonder how that the so-called prosperity gospel preachers deal with this. Because their attitude is that we can really praise God and love him when we're getting all of these bountiful gifts from him. And I wonder, would they still love him and praise him when hard times fall and when pressure comes? Paul said, we don't just thank God for the good times in our life. We thank God for the tribulation. And the basis of his thanking or glorying in God in the time of tribulation is this. Paul said, knowing, and that means a knowledge that comes from experience, so he knows what he's talking about. I have seen or perceived, and therefore I know. Knowing that tribulation, that is pressure, trouble, worketh, and that means to bring down or to work down or to affect or bring into being patience. Now, people have the wrong idea of patience, I think, just like they have the wrong idea of love. You got a child that is really misbehaving, and, you know, he's torn down the curtains from the window, he's run the car into the ditch, and this is just the first hour that he's been awake. Set the house on fire and tied the cat's tail to the washing machine, you know, just on and on and on, kicked mother's shins, and it's just been a terrible day. But mother or daddy, neither one's laid a hand on him yet because they've got such patience. See, They've always, they're so patient. Why, when they poured coal oil on Daddy and set him on fire, they never whipped him. He's so patient, you know. That's not patience. That's probably ducking your responsibility. This word patience comes from people who are helping to carry a load. Most of the transportation overland, or a great deal of the transportation overland, or freight overland, was simply done by people carrying it. You know, you did have animals to pull it on carts. You did have freight on the ships and in the rivers. But a lot of that which was transported from place to place, there might be a half dozen men under a load carrying it, physically carrying it. Now, patience was when you stayed under the load and you didn't just drop out to the side because the load was getting heavy or your back was hurting or your feet were getting tired or something of that nature, okay? It was remaining under the load and carrying your part, even though you were getting tired, even though the load was heavy, and you'd been at it a long time. It simply means you did not quit and lay down your load, and we might even use the term wimp out and just lay it down. Now, Paul said, knowing that, continuing our lifestyle under the pressure of living in this world will bring down our effect and will perfect our patience, which literally has to do with endurance. It teaches us to endure. Now, the idea is that testing lets us know that we can stand the test. Isn't that sort of a peculiar thought? That when we take a test and pass the test, then we have the confidence that we can meet the test and pass it. So Paul said, tribulation doesn't create in us a desire to quit and to curse God and die, but it creates in us the idea of remaining under the load. And experience has taught us this. And Paul said that patience then works down experience. Now, experience has in it the idea of that which is proven. You really don't know what you'll do until it happens to you. And that's what Paul's talking about when he talks about patience bearing under the load will create a circumstance where we pass the test, and after we pass the test, we've proven our character. Now we can have confidence that we can do the things that need to be done. Experience. Patience works experience. It's the proof, the trial. It's the idea of having been tried and then coming out on the other side and saying, I can do that. It's like a person standing at the edge of the river, and he says to himself, I can swim that river. And then after you've swum the river, you stand on the other side with a lot of confidence and said, I thought I could, now I know I can because I did. You know, we look at a lot of life's experience and we think, I can endure that with God's help. But we're not sure we can endure it with God's help until we do endure it with God's help. And then we know how strong God can be in us and through us. And this is exactly what Paul means. And this kind of experience brings about hope. When we are tested and we endure the testing, and we know that we have passed this testing, then our hope is even more well-grounded and joyous. Now, this kind of well-grounded, experienced hope will never disappoint us. It's sort of like the older people who are able to look at life and avoid the issues that cause so much grief simply because of the experience they have and living life. And Paul said the hope that is based on this kind of circumstance is a hope that will never let you be put to shame. It will never dishonor you. It will never disgrace you. It will never disappoint you. It'll never leave you open to embarrassment by others. It's just a kind of hope that you can literally depend on forever and ever and ever and ever, because it's based on experience. And whenever anything is based on experience instead of visionary dreams, it may not be as grand, but it'll be much more solid. And that's why Paul said, look, our hope, when we think about the glory of God, it is a hope that really gives us foundation. But then, it's not just when we think about the glories of heaven and how wonderful that will be that this gives us foundation for life. Because Paul said, when pressure comes and we pass through that pressure, we come out on the other side tested. Why, we understand that hope is not good just for the life to come, but it's good for this life also. So whether we're being blessed or whether we're undergoing real severe trials, our hope and our attitude and what we say about God continues on an open and on a level plane. Why? Because the love of God. That is, there is love also involved. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Literally, the love we have for God as we perceive His love for us sustains this kind of hope. The idea of being shed abroad means to pour out. It has in it the idea of abundance. It's properly applied to water. You would really speak of it as pouring out a tremendous amount of water. It has in it then, figuratively speaking, communication that's free and abundant, and conversation also. It's produced by the Holy Spirit of God. It is God's doing, and it is God's gift to us. The Bible says to us that it is given, by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And this means that God presented it to us. The idea is of freely giving, unforced and unintimidated. What is the mark then of maturity? Mark of maturity is when we're able to say that we love God and that God is good and that God is wise even when we're being severely tested. That's the mark of Christian maturity. Just like a mature son or daughter is able to say of their parents that we respected them because, or we do respect them because of the training, because of the discipline, and not simply because of the birthday gifts and the graduation gifts and the good material things that they gave. You may be tested. You probably will be. Tribulation is just a part of life. Carrying the load is just a part of life. It's sort of like this evening service. Sort of like every service of God. You know, we all carry the load. We're all under the load. It's sort of easy to just step out from under it and say, well, I can get out from under the load for a little while, or they won't miss me. But I think maturity is when we say, I'm under the load. This is my responsibility, and I'll carry it. If I feel good, I'll care it. If I feel bad, and because that's a mark of maturity. You know, the convenience or fast food industry has learned that the teenage labor market is not as dependable as the older people who are retired, because the older people have had the experience of working in spite of pain. In spite of what happens, it just comes with experience and with aging. They have a lot to teach us about things like that. And this is what Christianity and service to God is, just doing the things that need to be done when things look good and when things look bad. It's doing things that need to be done when you feel good and when you feel bad. This is the kind of experience, the kind of maturity that really keeps the work of God going. And I think it's what your friends look for who work with you. They look at you, and when everything's going well and you're a Christian and you speak of Christ, that's pretty easy to understand. When things go badly and there are problems in your life and you still continue to speak well of God and to give a very affirmative and positive witness about Jesus Christ, then that is something to be admired, and it's something to base a hope on that won't falter in this life.